Are you ready for work tonight?
Yes.
This work is our life. It's our connection with the kingdom, with the power of God, the love of God. Romans chapter 8. We've been talking for several weeks now about developing a win-win mentality. And if you can work this word in you. Verses that deal with victory. This is the victory that overcomes the belief in our faith. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He always calls you to triumph. He's made you more than a conqueror. If you can work these verses down into you, you change your attitude toward life.
Carnal.
Sound like a UFO.
Right. I think it's something with the ball game. I don't think it's a technically nice card.
Thank you, Jesus. And so, if you can develop the win-win mentality, you'll kick Murphy out of your life. You won't expect to come up short anymore. You'll expect to win in every situation. What I want to talk about tonight, I'll just mention it from the outset, is God's going to make a way for you to win.
Yes.
Even when it looks impossible.
Yes.
If you'll develop the win-win mentality and not let up, you'll make a way for you to win.
Amen.
You will come out on top. You will come out victorious. I mean, we win, God is in this building. We win, God is the finances for the building.
Yes.
We win, God all the work done in the building. You follow me? We win will deliver you from defeat in every area of life. Romans, did I take a turn there?
Yes.
Let me get there. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to let this sink in. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, the Creator God, the God of all life, might, and power, the God that sent His Son to die on our behalf, the God that adopted us into His family as sons and daughters of Him. If God be for us, what's the matter with any devil does?
That's right.
Do you follow me?
Yep.
What's the matter with what the world says? Now let me add a caveat to that. In other words, let me add an exception or some instruction on that. You can't just do nothing and God will work on your behalf.
Right.
He gave us everything we need to win. But you have to implement it to win. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, if I tell you to you need to hang a shelf on the wall and I give you a hammer and a nail to put in the wall. If you don't hammer the nail, it's not going to be hung. We don't speak God's word. We don't work the word into us. We don't build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We don't keep a spiritual momentum built up. Then, even though God's for us, we can still lose.
Yes.
Winning is not automatic. Does anybody know who Coach Pat Summit was? Mm-hmm. She's passed away. She was the women's basketball coach for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Women's basketball. At one time, the winningest coach in the world as far as basketball. Since she ended up with dementia, had to resign, and she's been passed. But had she stayed healthy, she would still be the winningest coach of all time. And she's quoted as saying this. I hope I get it somewhat right. She teaches the important thing is not winning. The important thing is refusing to lose. Mm-hmm. Refusing to quit when it looks like you had no chance of winning.
Yes.
And so her coaching philosophy was, if you're going to beat by 50 points, you still play like you're ahead. Or it's a tie game. You don't give way to a defeat mentality. And we do the same thing. You've got to apply yourself to access the victory.
Yes.
Amen. Winning is not automatic. You've got to have an attitude of, I can't be defeated if I don't quit.
Right.
And work it. Right? But it says if God is for us, and we're working with Him, it doesn't matter who's against us. we are going to win. But you don't know my circumstances. You don't know my life. You don't know my family. You don't know my, you know, who's coming against me. But I know who's for you. They don't compare anything that's coming against you. I know this sounds philosophical somewhat, if it sounds like just kind of idealistic. But it's the Word. And if we can get this Word in us, we'll live out this Word. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God says, I'm going to give you whatever you need. Now listen, sometimes you might need a hammer, other times you might need a sword.
Yes.
I mean, the devil's not going to stop coming against you. You have to have something from God to pound him over the head. And of course, the most powerful thing we have is the Word. Your Word, your actions, your declaration of faith. God's given us all of that. Look at Genesis chapter 1. I feel led to go here. Genesis chapter 1. No plans, I had no plans to go here, but I think it fits into what we're talking about. Are you there?
Yeah.
Verse 26. This is day 6. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, Elohim created him. Elohim is plural, by the way. God's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Created him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, you shall be for meat. God here says, man, I've made you in my image. And now I want you to go put all the world under your feet. Now this is before the fall. But man still had a responsibility and assignment from God before the fall to subdue the earth. In fact, his assignment was to make the entire earth look like the Garden of Eden. He gave him a garden plot.
Yes.
Said, now go transform the entire earth to look like Eden. You follow me? And he gave man here 5 things to transform the earth with. Those 5 things he gave man then, Jesus purchased back for us.
Yes.
Through the cross. These 5 things we still use to be victorious in our walk on earth. And I'm sure most of you probably know all 5 of them, right? What's the first one?
Image.
The first thing God gave you to put the earth under your feet to win, just to be a we win, was image. He said, I made you look like me.
Yeah.
And we don't just look like God. We have the same emotions. Similar emotions, you follow me? We, I believe, have the same, attitudes, even personalities that parallel God. Yes, they're cutting through. But the number one thing that God gave us in his image was righteousness. You're made internally in the righteous image of God. Amen. You're as pure in spirit as God himself. You're as sin-free internally as Jesus Christ has ever been. You're made righteous. You're made in God's image. Now listen, at the fall, Adam lost that image. But at the cross, Jesus reestablished it. And whosoever calls upon Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior is born again and receives internally that new image of God. It's vital we know this to step into our victory. To step into our ability to put the world under our feet. So, image is the first thing we get. And you've got to have this image understanding who you are in Christ to walk in victory on earth. Otherwise, condemnation will just tear you to pieces.
Yes.
What's the second thing that He gave man?
Dominion.
I say dominion.
Dominion is, well, dominion is definitely one of them. Amen. Let's look at verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. I believe the second thing He gave us was partnership.
Oh.
Covenant.
Right.
God told Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. And he can't do what he needs to do without the helper. And it's more than just helper, it's a partner. A covenant worker alongside with to fulfill the assignment on man and woman. And of course, what was part of God's command to Adam? Be fruitful and multiply. He can't do that without Eve. You follow me? So, and I believe as a church, God's part of our entire plan. We can't do it ourselves. We need each other. He's raising up a body, and the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye can't see to the say,
that's right.
Say to any other part, I don't need you. Yeah. The head can't say to the eye, I guess it is. That's Jesus can't say to us. He doesn't need us. He needs us to fulfill the assignment. Because
yes.
He's coming back for a body, not just a head.
That's true.
So the second thing we have is partnership, covenant. Partnership. The third thing it says in verse 20, and God blessed them. Number three is the blessing. What's it mean that you've got the blessing? That means God says you have favor.
Yeah.
I'm giving you an advantage.
Yeah. The power to win.
The power to win, that's right.
That's the blessing.
What's that?
That is the blessing.
The blessing is the power to win.
It is.
And I'm thinking it's like the devil challenges God to a basketball game. And the devil brings all his best players he's ever had to serve him, you know, whatever names they might be to play the game. God just brings in 5 9-footers. You follow me?
Uh-huh.
And it may be somebody that's 5'2", but can jump 12 feet in the air because of the blessing. Samson had a blessing. Many believe Samson did not look strong because people were surprised at his strength. That it was the power of God on him through his long hair.
Yes.
The blessing. And the blessing gives us favor with God to come out on top, to win. Amen? And we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings through Christ in heavenly places. Isn't that right, Andrew? We've been blessed. And God says, I'm blessing you. I'm giving you favor. And through that favor, you can subdue the earth. You can put it under your feet. Number four, dominion. Authority, exousia. I've given you authority to win. Understand, these are the things we have ourselves now. What God gave Adam in the beginning to win the earth, He's given back to us to win now. So authority. Which is authority over pythons and witchcraft at the beginning of this service.
Yeah.
Amen. We prayed March to put Him under our feet. We're exercising our God-given authority. And guess what? We get to use the name of Jesus. Now we don't just preach in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. We know Him. Amen.
Amen.
And through that knowledge of God and walking with Him, we can use the power of that name. Which means all heaven backs up our words. So when you say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, In Jesus' name, you know, throw that in if you want to. There's authority behind those words. And the kingdom of heaven will back it up.
Right.
Whenever you speak God's word in faith and you stand on it, heaven will back it up.
Yes.
Number five. How many know what number five is?
Seed.
That's right. Seed.
Seed.
I give you every herb bearing seed. And Jesus came to teach on the power of seed. Sorrow went out to sow. And of course, he said the seed is the word of God. So when you sow the word of God in your situations, your faith makes it fertile soil. You'll see that seed produce the results. So again, we win mentality was first initiated through Adam on behalf of Adam. He lost it. He backed off when he should have used the authority he was given. Amen. He wasn't deceived, he just backed off. In fact, he was manipulated out of it. I'm sure Eve put this helpless look on him. Oh, can't we eat this? And he gave in. And when he did, we lost these five things. And now through Jesus being born again, all five have been reestablished in our life. And if we use them, we will win. Back to Romans chapter 8. Did you get anything out of that? I want to go to the next verse. Let's read verse 32 again, though, just to get the running start. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things freely? You just got to use your faith to access them. Then he says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. So now, get this. Now Paul says, who's going to condemn you? Charge, condemn. Who's going to lay anything, any blame on you? Because God's the one that justified you. Now, justified, we usually say, means just as if I never sinned. But it's the same root as righteousness. It's God that made you righteous. God that made you without sin. God that made you pure, pure. I know you're not holy yet, but internally you're pure. And God says, that's enough. You're going the right direction. Now it's nobody else's business. If you're fighting condemnation, it's not God. Cast it down. God's the justifier. The one that makes us righteous. And again, this revelation, when I got this 31 years ago, changed my life. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I like it as past tense. Anybody here feel like you've won everything already?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
You follow me? Sometimes in the midst of a battle, you don't feel like you've won. But here he says in past tense, you've already overcome. It's a done deal as far as God's concerned. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is the Spirit of God in you and your new nature than he in the world. He that is in you is spirit. That which is in the world is flesh. If you'll use your God-given tools and function out of spirit versus flesh, you'll win every time.
Yes.
But of course, Galatians chapter 5, the flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so that you can't do the things that you would. You got to make sure you maintain spirit on top.
Yes.
Don't give way to that fickle flesh. It'll give you every excuse y'all just stay strong spiritually. Amen. We kind of stepped into some of that before the word tonight.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. This is really where I want to get to for just a minute. Romans chapter 8. We were just there. Verse 28. And we know, say I know.
Uh-huh.
We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to what God wants you to do, his direct, his destiny for you. Now listen. God doesn't send everything in your life that you battle with. He's not the one bringing you the challenges. But if you'll work your faith in the midst of it and maintain a we-win mentality,
yes,
it'll work for your good.
All right.
You'll come out on top. Now mention this at the outset. When you develop a we-win mentality and you use it, you work your faith with it, God will make a way where there seems to be no way.
Amen. The way maker, amen.
Yeah, way maker. That song, right? He'll make a way where it seems like it's impossible.
Yes.
I've got a list here of situations where that happened. I got a verse I want to go to. Hang on a second. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah. That's interesting. 43 would have been George Bush, right? Number 43 president. Isaiah 43. Look at verse 18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now stop right there. On our board over here, we were graphing a non-linear spiritual expectation. The natural human intellect tends to believe tomorrow is going to be somewhat like today or yesterday. Whatever incremental change you saw a day ago, you'll see similar today. Nobody went from third grade to fourth grade and expected to be doing, you know, calculus by fifth grade. You expect to be incremental learning as you went. Incremental growth and development. But God's a God of exponential growth. And he says, as long as you're looking at yesterday, you can't go fully into tomorrow. You'll use yesterday of what to expect tomorrow. He says, don't consider the things of old. Think about the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Jesus has been crucified. He raised from the dead. Spoke to him. He's now been missing for 40 days. Right? And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God blew in. And they went from incremental. I mean, electing a new replacement for Judas. All these things they're doing. But in one day, they went from boom, full of the Holy Ghost and fire. In a week, 8,000 people were saved. They went non-linear. Right? And I'm telling you what, my guess is they were expecting things to happen real fast in their future because they broke out of the old. It's incremental, day by day changing. And God says, don't remember the days of old. Paul said this, Philippians, he says, I forget those things which are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think he's talking about going on linear.
All right.
And he says in verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Say a big thing.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Our grandson's been staying with us. He loves trucks. I've never seen my daughter. I've never seen a kid like that. Loves trucks. He gets up in the morning. You want to see grandma? No. Want to see grandpa? No. Want to see blue truck? Yes. And then they get outside to see the blue truck. So I've been digging trucks. I got all those trucks I've been digging out for him to play with. And today, this morning, I remembered a truck I had. I have a big white semi metal truck. It says Walmart on the side. I've had it for years. And I had it tucked away, and I'm like, oh, I've got that truck. I pulled it out, and he goes, big white truck. Everything else just blue truck, big white truck. And I have a big fire engine. He says, big fire engine. And he had to attach the word big to it. And God said, I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to be a big thing.
Yes.
A new big thing. And it shall spring forth. What's spring mean? Talking about the season. Vault forth, come forth speedily. Jump forth, leap. Come into being in a minimum amount of time. It's going to spring forth. God says, I'm going to do something in acceleration. Something new. Something big. It's going to happen like that. Non-linear expectation. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Yes.
Now I'm talking about the we-win mentality. When you get a hold of it, even when things seem impossible,
yes,
God will make a way.
Yes.
Now, what are the chances of there being a river in the desert? Pretty slim, right? You've heard about the Oasis Mirages, right? And I know there's rainy times come through and rivers will form temporarily and then they'll sink, you know, evaporate away or sink in or whatever. But rivers don't just appear in the desert.
Right.
What this is talking about is, I'll make a way when it seems impossible.
Right.
I'll make a way, I'll make a path in the wilderness. Now the wilderness, we could call it like unexplored regions, places you've never been, had no idea where to go.
Yeah.
I saw some special not too long ago, some true story about a couple, actually several people, were on a hike in the Amazon, and something went wrong. They got lost. They split up. And had no idea which way to go, which way is north, which way is south. And I've seen a few of these where the jaguars are hunting them down. There's big snakes, whatever, you know, can't drink the water. And totally bumfuzzled, bamboozled. Where do we go? What do we do? Had no idea. And in that one we saw, two people with no experience made it, but the guy and somebody who followed him didn't make it. Never found it. The wilderness is a place you have no idea which way to go. You have no idea what's coming up next. You don't know what the terrain's going to be like. You don't know what direction to go. God, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness.
Yes.
Now listen, where we're going as a church in the end times, nobody's ever been. We will not know which direction to go. The dream I had with President Trump, where I had to pray in the spirit to know the direction, is what we're going into. But God's going to give us all this authority, all this ability, all this opportunity, but we won't know what to do. We're not going to be able to reason it. All we can do is pray, and hear God, okay, God, which way do I turn now?
Yes.
I've had this work for me several times in my walk with God. Years ago, I had an uncle die in Kansas. I was asked to do his funeral. 600 people came to the funeral. And I'm talking to God about starting, bringing our tent up and connecting with the church, because so many people came and said, can you come and preach? Can you do something, this and that, the other? I said, well, let me see. So I got up the next morning or morning or two after. I said, God, I need to find a church in town. A Holy Ghost church. And we're talking about a little bitty town.
Yeah.
Trying to think of how small.
2,000.
Midway. Probably about the size of Midway. Something like that. Downtown bigger than Midway, actually, a little bigger. And I took off. My mother had a house I was staying in right on Main Street there, Broadway. I left the house praying in the Spirit. I said, God, show me a church. I started walking toward downtown. I walked through downtown, and all of a sudden I felt the Spirit of God say, turn right. Didn't hear it, just felt it. I turned right, go maybe 50 yards, and there's a charismatic church right there that just been over there. Away in the wilderness. Way where there seems to be no way. But we're going to hit times where it's not just trying to find a church. We need an answer now.
Yes.
What do I do? Kind of like when the axle fell out of the strings fell off the trailer I was pulling. I need an answer now. Boom. God makes a way in the wilderness where it looks impossible. Where there's no river could be there, but he makes a river, something to get in and flow with. To drink out of. We win mentality keeps you in the attitude, the faith function that you know God's going to be there. You know he's going to make a way. Something's going to happen. You know he's going to make a way. And again, getting a building, we had to camp out there. We don't know how, but you're going to get us a building.
Yes.
Because it looked impossible. How many believe it looked impossible? We're not going to build us for $1 million. We made an offer on one for $1 million with no possible way to pay it. No, I mean in the natural. But God, if you get it to us, we'll believe you for the money. And we end up here. Totally by the hand of God. He made a way, or there seemed to be no way, but we were working, we win. Then sometimes we say, we'll never find a church. There's no way we'll have a church. We can't find a building. There'll never be a building. I guess we'll be in a hotel forever. We never said that. We said we win.
Yes.
All the way through it. And in your life, your things are going to rise up that seem impossible. I need a car, I need a job, I need help in my marriage, I need help with my kids. Keep the we win, and God will make that way. Well, I think you're just being kind of, talking about pie in the sky, something impossible. Yes. A river in the wilderness. Right? River in the desert, away in the wilderness.
Amen.
I really believe this Bible is real and God's on our side, and we have all five of those things. Image, covenant, partnership, blessing, dominion, and seed. All five of those given to us. Through those five, we'll use them, we'll win.
Amen.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Let me go another verse. James chapter 4. Maybe I come here thinking I'm going to cover all these chapters and stuff. And we get into these sidetracks. That is exactly where God wants us. James, have you got it? Look at verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And of course, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Draw nigh to God, and God will come close to you. That's part of the principle of the first step. We take a step toward God, he takes a step toward us. Right?
Right.
Like he takes a leap toward us.
He's perfect in the mirror.
But part of our responsibility is when Mr. Ponytail shows up, we have to say no to him. The speak the word to him, to tell him his boundaries, his areas of influence, and say, no, not here. You're not in visiting me. This is, if we do that, he will flee. So part of we win is refusing to give the flesh and the devil voice. Refusing for them to have any kind of influence in your decisions other than resisting. Again, getting to the crux of this message, to the main point. If we will work this, it will change your whole attitude in Christianity. You'll do this. You will go from tolerating Christianity to loving it.
Amen.
Because as long as you're entertaining, what if I fall? What if this happens? What if the devil wins? What if, you know, I don't come out on top? What if I lose all this? That fear will steal your joy.
Yes.
But the we win eradicates that fear. Cannot be defeated. I'm not quitting. I refuse to bow down. I always win. Guess what? Did you get anything out of this? I'm not going to hold. We didn't go very long with the word tonight, but you've got enough to work with, right? I'll see you Thursday night at 6:30. Father, we thank you for your word. We speak it's effective in our understanding. It fuels our faith. And I thank you, Lord God. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I thank you, Father, for ways through impossible situations for each one here. We win in every circumstance. I declare there's no lack in this church. There's no pain, no sickness, no disability. I thank you, Lord God, there's no lack, no oppression, no stress, and no strife whatsoever. I thank you for our divine encounters all week, and yet the church daily such you should be saved, and we win.
Yes.
You bring us under the bond of covenant. We thank you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.